From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled The Model Prayer, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Uncover and Confess Sin. The text is Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Here is the way of mercy for a guilty and repenting sinner. He must cease from the habit of covering sin. This is attempted by falsehood, which denies sin, by hypocrisy, which conceals it, by boasting, which justifies it, and by loud profession, which tries to make amends for it. The sinner's business is to confess and forsake. The two must go together. Confession must be honestly made to the Lord Himself, and it must include within itself acknowledgement of the wrong, sense of its evil, and abhorrence of it. We must not throw the fault upon others, nor blame circumstances, nor plead natural weakness. We must make a clean breast of it and plead guilty to the indictment. There can be no mercy till this is done. Furthermore, we must forsake the evil. Having owned our fault, we must disown all present and future intent to abide in it. We cannot remain in rebellion and yet dwell with the King's majesty. The habit of evil must be quitted, together with all places, companions, pursuits, and books which might lead us astray. Not for confession, nor for reformation, but in connection with them we find pardon by faith in the blood of Jesus.
Supremely blessed, beneath thy wings.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing these studies on prayer, Dr. Cairns is examining the structure of what we know as the Lord's Prayer. In a few simple statements, the Lord Jesus Christ explained to his disciples the proper way to approach God in prayer. This model prayer is one of the best-known portions in all the Bible. It has brought encouragement and comfort to untold millions down through the centuries. Yet there are those who entertain the notion that this prayer does not belong to the Christian church. Dr. Cairns will describe the principal objections and explain why they are unfounded. Now to continue this message, the model prayer. Here is Dr. Cairns.
When we think of praying in the name of Christ, what does that mean? It means many things, but one of those things is we pray on the authority of Christ. And certainly when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying it by the explicit authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only so, but when we say, "Address God as Father," notice we say not "my Father," but "our Father." Christian never stands alone before God. Never. In the most isolated position in the world, he always is in fellowship with the Son of God, and it is here in seed form set before us the great truth of praying in union with Christ and therefore on his merit. So there's no real ground to the first objection. The second objection is even further from the truth. We are told that we shouldn't pray this prayer because when we ask for forgiveness in the words of Christ, we're asking on the ground of law, not grace. You know, if it weren't for the fact that Christians are often better than their stated theology, I would write that off as arrant, arrogant blasphemy. Stop and think of what it's saying. It's saying that Christ was teaching people to pray for forgiveness on the ground and merit of their own forgiving spirit. Now, you've only got to state this to realize that it is utter nonsense. There never was a time when God forgave people on the ground of law. There never was a time when God forgave any man his sins because of that man's personal legal obedience. Forgiveness has always been on the ground of grace, and always through the covenant of grace that is subsumed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and is executed through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon has always been in the ground of grace. So the Lord Jesus is not teaching us some legal prayer. He is not teaching us a prayer that is unchristian. When you stop to think of it, the very idea is preposterous that the Christ is teaching his disciples to pray an unchristian prayer. The idea is nonsense. This is a model prayer that does not belong to some other dispensation, but to the people of God in all ages. It's a model prayer, and it's for use by God's people. And the Lord Jesus means us to use it in two ways. First, he means us to use it word for word. He means us to pray it as he has given it. How do I know that? Well, in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, he said, "When ye pray, say," then he gives you the words. Now, isn't that plain? I don't think anything could be much plainer. When you pray, say. So the Lord Jesus intends us to use these words. I have often felt, I'm not going to tie myself to this at the moment or tie you to it in any legalistic fashion, but I've often felt it would be a good idea when we pray never to omit the Lord's Prayer. I've even felt at times that I would introduce that into every service, and then I've stopped short and said, well, this is really speaking of private prayer more than public. But in the private place, I think there's a lot to be said for never omitting the Lord's Prayer. The late Martin Lloyd-Jones said that he always like to come to the Lord's Prayer because he felt that if he had left something out, or he had misstated something or misunderstood something, that at least if from his heart he was praying the Lord's Prayer, he was genuinely, scripturally covering the whole ground. Now, we're not simply to recite it. We're not to put it, as it were, in the hard disk of our brain and let it come out there where we are thinking on something else. We're not meant to operate like these modern computers that can do two jobs at once, one in the foreground and one in the background. We are meant to come to God with all our thinking processes in order, with the fullness of our being put into the prayer. We are not merely to recite the words, but I think that we should take seriously the words of Christ. When you pray, say these words. He means us to use it as he gave it. But then he obviously, secondly, means us to use it as a basis for all our prayer. Have before us in Matthew 6 and verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Now, I want you to stop and think of this. The disciples asked the Lord, and in Luke 11 we find this was why he gave them the Lord's Prayer. Teach us to pray. What we have here is a lesson from the greatest master of prayer the world has ever seen, the Son of God himself. The one who could say, I know that thou hearest me always. The one who never had a prayer unanswered. The one who was the master of entering into the presence of the Father. And he now begins to teach us to pray. And he's teaching us how to engage in the most important spiritual exercise in which any Christian ever can be involved. If you look at Matthew 6 very carefully, you'll find the Lord Jesus is speaking of very important things. He speaks about giving alms. And he speaks about fasting. Now obviously these are important issues. Giving out of a heart of generosity to the work of God, to the needs of fellow man. That's a very important subject. Fasting, with all the ideas of the denial of the flesh and getting alone with God and leaving aside even the necessities of daily life to be with Him. Fasting certainly is important, especially when we understand the Lord Jesus said there are certain times we come against the revealed powers of hell that are so strong that this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. So fasting's important. But let me tell you, far more important than any of them, and indeed that which gives validity to the other two, is this matter of prayer. It is prayer that is the measure of your maturity. I understand that. It's not how much of the Bible you've committed to memory, though I trust you will do that. It's not how well read you are in theology, though I trust you will read widely and deeply. It is not how well you know the distinctives of this church or some other church. It is not how well versed you are in the history of God's church. Those are all vital and important things. It's not even how active you are. That again is vital. But what really measures your maturity? You're praying. The gauge of your growth is your praying. Those who have been with us from the early days in Sharon Drive will remember that I set down the law then, the law of our lives, that no man can be greater anywhere than he is on his knees before God. And yet, don't we have to confess that this is the very place we feel at our weakest? There are some unthinking people, you know, who speak of prayer as if it were the easiest thing in the world. You've heard those people. Oh, just pray about it. You know, it just rolls off the end of their tongue. Without a thought. Without any deep exercise of heart. You just pray about it. It's the easiest thing in the world. Anybody can pray. I fear those people are in for a very, very, very serious shock. But I'm here to tell you that they are wrong, dead wrong. This is not the easiest thing in the world. This is the most difficult thing in the world. This is far more difficult than Bible study. This is far more difficult than preaching. This is far more difficult than the most difficult seminary course you could ever take, whether it's in Hebrew, Greek, philosophy, or anything else. This is far more difficult. Because it's far, far more important. It is here in the place of prayer that the flesh needs most curbing. If the flesh is ever active, it's when you get on your knees before God. It's then that all your bodily faculties will be challenged by not only the powers of hell, but by your own inward depravity. It's there that all the inner iniquity of the old man will vent itself against your doing business with God. It's in this place of prayer that the flesh most needs curbing, and it's in this place of prayer that Satan most needs crushing. I'll go so far as to say that if indeed we truly learn to pray, if we learn what it is to get real victory here, we will be able to live victoriously, usefully, in every other part of our Christian life. So I want us to start today to consider the Lord's Prayer. I want us to think of it as Christ's pattern for our praying. I want you to understand that Jesus is saying Christians should pray according to this pattern. Now, all I'm going to do today is take an overview of the Lord's Prayer, and I'm not even sure if I'll complete the overview. Time will tell. But as I took a bird's eye view of it, I thought we should learn from two main things. First, the structure of the prayer, and then the leading features of the prayer. I want us to start with the structure. Some people look on structure as mere bones, that there's nothing much there. But if God puts a structure into it, it's for our edification. I want you to notice that this prayer is structured. You can't help but see that it is carefully constructed. It is structured. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in verse 7? When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Vain repetitions. Remember we gave you the force of that word? It's gabbling. Gabbling. Jesus has said, when you get to pray, don't just gabble. Or as you Americans like to put it, run off at the mouth. That's a rather genteel way of saying what the British say when they're... That's slang, you know. Run off at the mouth. The British way of slang is slobbering. And each of them is as revolting as the other. I don't like to use slang much in the pulpit, but when it gets to the meaning of a word, this is what this word is talking about. This is not a nice word. Vain repetition sort of has a, because it's been used for so many centuries, it sort of has a holy aura about it. But it's not a nice word. Jesus is saying, don't be gabbling. Don't just let your motor mouth take over and you just run off and say more and more and more. You don't know what you're saying. You don't know why you're saying it. You don't know what direction you're going in. There's no structure to it whatsoever. Remember in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2, we are told, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Why? Because God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. The psalmist had this in mind when he prayed in Psalm 141 verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. There is a structure here. It's not just gabbling mindlessly.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.